Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
I'm thinking the fact that Dylan stopped singing and this says announcements, it's time to get to announcements now. See, I got this figured out. So, hi, good morning. Welcome to worship here at Wesley Church. In case you hadn't figured out, I am not Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul is having the opportunity to actually go back to North Korea for a family reunion. Or South Korea. Korea. I'm guessing not North Korea. But anyway, so my name's Bruce Kramer. If you don't know me, I'm a lay person here. And I thank you for the privilege of getting to lead worship today. I don't know of any particular announcements. Do we have any that somebody feels we need to lift up today? All righty then. We'll just move then on, and we're happy to have Grace lead us in our call to worship today.
Please stand as you are able and join me in our call to worship. Wait for the Lord. Wait for God's wisdom. Prepare for the coming of Christ. Wait, prepare, be ready to celebrate.
Christ has come. Love is present here and now.
Please join me in our opening hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
You may be seated. It's a time when we bring our joys and concerns to the Lord. Joys so that they can be multiplied, and sorrows and concerns so they can be divided amongst us. Are there any joys or concerns you all want to share with us today? Number one, of course, we want to pray for continued safety for Pastor Paul and Rosa over in Korea and their trip and a safe trip back. I will tell you, too, I asked for prayer for my sister Joyce, my oldest sister, that makes her 68, who is going through some testing for possible cancer and gotten some quasi-nebulous news back, which, like, we've seen some things that are looking positive, some things looking negative. We'll know more this next week, but appreciate prayers for her. Any other requests? All right, then let's go to a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you are here today. You are here right now. You are here in this present, and you are here in our lives. And you're in our lives because you love us, and you embrace us, and you are with us. Thank you. Thank you for that love, and thank you that you care about those things that burden us, and you care and celebrate those things that put a smile on our face. And Lord, for all those things that are in our hearts that haven't been spoken this morning, we lift those up to you, and we give those to you, and we thank you and praise you for all that you are to us. And Lord, now we join together in the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated, and we'll move on to our hymn of God Will Take Care of You, verses 1 and 4.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what it may be the test, God will take care of you. Leary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and your body is more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, and he will not much more clothe you, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today is trouble enough for today. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
So if you're following along in your bulletins, I think we just hit a land speed record. We're from start to sermon in 7 minutes. You know, so just wanted to keep pace here. So it's interesting, you know, we are at that point where if we're looking at our bulletins, it says sermon. And I'm always somebody that is intrigued by words and looking up definitions. And so I'm like, okay, so this is the part where I'm supposed to be, quote, preaching a sermon. So what is a sermon? So I looked it up, and Webster says a sermon is a religious discourse delivered in public, usually by a member of the clergy, as part of a worship service. I was thinking, not a member of the clergy. I'm going to strike that one out. Let's find another definition. Number two, it's a talk. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. I can talk. It's a talk on religious or moral subject, especially one given during a church service, and based on a passage from the Bible. Now we're getting somewhere where I'm feeling a little more comfortable here, because I don't want to preach at you. So, you know, and this, can we talk? Some of you may remember, anybody who's as old as I am, Joan Rivers, that was always her tagline, can we talk? Can we talk? So if you don't mind, we're going to skip the sermon. I'm not going to be preaching. We're just going to talk. Would that be okay? What I'd like to do is maybe just share with you a little bit from my experience and a place where some dots were connected in my life. You know, and as a sales and marketing guy, we have this saying, anyone can collect the dots. Anyone can collect data. But the key is to connect the dots. And over this last summer, I've been fortunate to have some dots connected in my life that have been very powerful to me. I'm hoping they're helpful somewhat to you, but if you don't mind, I'm just at least going to share you my experience. And then you can decide whether this is worthwhile listening to or not. But first off, thank you for Grace for reading that scripture. It's a beautiful, beautiful scripture passage. It's one that's always meant a lot to me. And what you're going to hear today is, even though I know that scripture, in many ways I struggled with it in my life. Let's kind of review what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. He said, look, I'm going to tell you right now, do not worry about your life. Sounds simple enough. Do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you drink. What clothes. You know, isn't life more important than the clothes you wear or what food you eat? I don't know if you look at me. What food I eat is pretty important to me, but that's another whole story, and that's another whole set of counseling. Look at the birds in the air. You know, they fly. God takes care of them. They don't work hard. They don't sow for crops, and yet God takes care of them and feeds them. Can you add even a single hour to your life by worrying? And why do you worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field. Aren't the flowers beautiful? Even in the fall, we see the mums. Isn't it beautiful even to see the trees change colors? And we say, what beautiful nature God has given us. None of those things work or toil or spin, it says. And yet, God says, Solomon in all his glory wasn't as nice as the flowers that we see, as the earth God has given us. And so, goes on to say, if God's going to take care of all these things that flowers that get thrown out, that get burned, oh, you of little faith, why are you worrying about what we eat and what we eat and drink? Your Father knows what you need. He says, seek first God's kingdom. And if you do that and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Today's enough trouble for today. Simple, easy. You get it, right? So I read that. I get it. Makes sense right up here in my head. But I have to tell you, it wasn't working for me. It absolutely wasn't working for me. I was spending this entire year with knots in my stomach, filled with anxiety. And I'm going, am I the one of little faith he's talking about? God, why? I read this. I know this. But man, I'm waking up every morning and just those knots in my stomach. It's been kind of a tough year at work. And let me just give you a little background. And this background isn't to brag, but it's just to say, this is why I was so puzzled over why the dots weren't connecting here. Look, I know the Bible. I believe it. I read it all the time. I try to read it every day. I have daily devotions. I'm a man of faith. I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. I'm 63 years old. I've been a professing Christian for 59 years, since I was 4 years old. I've read the Bible cover to cover twice. I go to church. We go to men's Bible group every Saturday. I absolutely love Jesus. Man, I am so in love with Jesus. I would call myself a man of faith. I believe in God in my whole heart and being. And yet, despite all that, I got to tell you, the people in my men's Bible group will let you know, if they were allowed to talk about it. It's like what happens in Bible study stays in Bible study, right? No, but I'm giving them permission to talk about this one. I would come every week to Bible study, and when we'd have time for prayer requests, I'd say, man, can you just pray for me? I'm just struggling. I know up here in my head everything's fine. I know up here in my head the Bible says, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry. I got this. And yet in the pit of my stomach was just this, man, I'm just not feeling it. I'm just anxious what's going to happen next. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever had times of anxiety and go, is it my faith? What is it? God, I'm not getting it. That was me. My head knows it. And by the way, I had every other thing going for me as well. Look, I have good health. I've managed to lose a few pounds over the last couple years. I've got a great wife. Just for record, she's not here, and I'm still saying that, okay? So I'm not just sucking up right now. I really do have a great wife. I actually do have a good job, even though I'm having some issues. I've got a good job. You know, people treat me well there. We've built our dream home since coming here. It feels like I got everything going for me. And yet, man, I'm sitting here. I'm struggling. So fortunately, you know, we can spend another whole week on this next topic about having an accountability group, having people who support you. Fortunately, my men's group, one of the guys came up to me afterwards and said, you know, Bruce, have you ever thought about maybe getting some help with this? Whether it's a counselor or a little pill or some anti-anxiety meds, you know. He mentioned to me that, you know, he takes a little pill and helps take some of the edge off. And, you know, I thought about that and I thought, you know, I could use some help because right now it ain't working. I'm not where I want to be. And I knew in the past there was a time that when I was with Rayovac 20 years ago, I was dealing with some anxiety issues and found an antidepressant helped some, took some of the edge off. I also knew talking to a counselor, we had some issues with my son and our family, to tell you the truth, and I've seen a family counselor. It was a tremendous help. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna go talk to somebody. And it's interesting, you know, places where people can connect the dots for you. So I got two big dots connected from some of my time with talking to a counselor. And I want to share those with you. Again, these are at least my story. I'll let you decide whether it relates at all into your life. And the first thing she said, you know, I went to her and I'm like, Lisa, and I kind of told her the same story I just told you. Man, I got everything going for me. Great wife, great job. You know, things are working fine. I've got really good health. There's no reason I should be feeling this way. But I'm telling you, every day it seems another thing, problem at work, and I'm just... And she said, Bruce, you know, you talk about anxiety. She says, you know another word for anxiety? It's fear. Fear is just another word for anxiety. And she said, do you know where all that lives? It lives in your head. She said, it all lives in a story your head makes up. It's not in the reality of right now. She said, I need you to think about right now. Don't think about the story. Don't think about the fear. Don't think about what you've made up in your head. Because she said, in a sense, life is all stories, except for the right now. And that's why we're talking about the God of the present. Now, God, we can get theologically and technical about this. God actually isn't, you know, we could say, well, he's been around forever, and he's going to be around forever. So that really makes God timeless. You know, we could say he's the God of the past, the present, and the future, but really God is beyond our scope of time. God is eternal. He's like a circle. There is no beginning and end. We, as human beings, are creatures of the present. We can't do anything about the past. There is absolutely, positively nothing we can do to go backwards and change what happened before. And we really, I was taught, really can't control the future. We have no control over what happens next. There may be correlation. You know, if you drive a car 150 miles an hour and go off a bridge, something's going to happen. So there is correlation, but we don't really have control. And in fact, Lisa mentioned to me, she goes, let me tell you about my parents. I have a father who's 84, drinks, smokes, eats crappy, crappy junk food. He's still alive and going strong. I have a mom, ate healthy, exercised, did all the right things. She passed away. So, by the way, this little talk isn't to tell you to eat, drink, and eat crappy food, and you'll live forever. It's just to illustrate the point that, yes, there's correlation to the future, but we don't really have control. Things happen outside control. She said, what we do have is our present. And she said, Bruce, right now, forget the story in your head, forget everything else, right now, sitting here in front of me, God is here. God is the God of the present. He is here now. Are you safe? Are you okay now? Because your worries are just the story you made up that may or may not even happen. And in fact, it's interesting. She says, by the way, if you are going to make up a story, why don't you make up a good one? You know? If you're going to make up a story, why don't you make up the story where your customers call you and they order everything you want and you ship it all fine and, you know, your wife comes home and says, hey, honey, I just bought you a new sports car. I hope she was listening to that one. Make up a good story. But God is in the presence. And when we move out of the present, we are walking away from God and our trust. God didn't leave. God never leaves. God is here always. But he's here in the present. And so we need to live in the now, right at this moment. How are you doing? How am I doing? Because it's now. Jesus said, he said in the book of John, we should be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus wants us here. He said the kingdom of heaven has come now, is come near. See, we sometimes think of the kingdom of heaven as that faraway place I go to when I die. But Jesus changed all that. Jesus said, I came here to earth to bring the kingdom of heaven now. I'm here now living in you. The kingdom of heaven starts this moment, and that was 2,000 years ago. That's where we need to live. We need to live in the now. So this passage tells us that our promise is God should be here right now, in the present. He's going to take care of us. And as it says, he will take care of our needs. So here is just one little qualifier we have to make sure we catch on this. God has promised to take care of our needs. He's for the needy, not for the greedy. He didn't say, I'm going to eat you everything you want. I'm guessing when I get home today, there's no sports car in the driveway. But he has taken care of all my needs. And by the way, taking care of our needs and living in the present doesn't mean there's not ever going to be problems. But you know what? Sometimes those problems are what we need. Growth happens through struggles and trials. If you look at geography, growth happens in the valleys, not on the mountaintops. Our biggest growth, I bet if you look backwards in your life, I'm going to give you permission to look backwards just this once. If you look backwards in your life, a lot of the best growth that you've had in your life occurred from struggles that you went through. You know, athletes kind of know the no pain, no gain. You got to push through it. You got to work through it. So God does sometimes allow things to happen in our lives that aren't so fun, aren't all daisies, rainbows, and unicorns, as they say. But that's for our growth. But God's here now. So even these problems that we have their purpose. You know, it's interesting. She made a point to say, you know, Bruce, when you worry and get all caught up in that story you made up, that's like having a nightmare, having a dream about your wife, something terrible happened. Now, in reality, she's lying there next to you in bed, sleeping peacefully. You wake up all in a sweat and a dither. Something terrible. What am I going to do? But that's just a dream in your head. The reality is everything is fine, and that's where live in the now, not in the future. Now, I'm going to make one little aside here. Somebody may say, but Bruce, isn't it valid to plan for the future, to think ahead a little bit? You know, I got to buy groceries for the weekend. You know, I got to save for retirement. I got to save up to put my kids through. And the answer is yes, absolutely planning is okay. In fact, not only is it okay, just for the record, it's a good idea. But But that's different than worry. There's a difference. Planning, you know, here's a couple things I read. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is wasted time. Planning moves us to action. Worry immobilizes us. Do you see the difference? Careful planning is thinking about goals, steps, schedules, and trusting in God's guidance for that. And when it's well done, it actually helps us alleviate worry. That's all right, I got a plan, I got to figure it out. Worrying, by contrast, consumes us with fear and our struggle to live every day. There was a song that we used to sing when I was in high school. We were going to sing it today, except for two things. Number one, we don't have the music. That was a big one. Number two, and I do remember this one when we sang in high school, it goes really, really high. And maybe at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you got a shot at hitting some of those notes. But this time of the day, it ain't happening. But I think some of the words are worth hearing. This was written by Ralph Carmichael back in the 70s. It's okay to plan tomorrow, to look ahead. A little bit. That is to see that hungry mouths are fed. But what a pity to ignore the beauty of right now. To savor every precious moment, if we could, learn how. Consider, see, this comes right out of this book, right out of the passage that Grace read. Consider now the lily that grows across the field, such delicate perfection seldom been revealed. Tomorrow cannot rob her while she's in her prime. The secret of her beauty, one day at a time. It's okay to plan tomorrow, that we have to do, for when you make a promise, you've got to see it through. But always reaching for tomorrow seems to me a shame that in life becomes a whole lot like an empty picture frame. Help me, Lord, to use the strength you've given me today, for with the setting of the sun, it too will slip away. And you have only promised to lead one step at a time. Tomorrow mountains all at once would be too much to climb. We have to live in today. To sum this up, Jesus said, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you eat or drink. I got this. I got the needs. Don't make up stories that lead you to say, oh, this could happen, that could happen, that. Forget about that. Live in this moment, and I am here in this present. It says in verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow brings worries for itself. Don't live in a story in your head. Don't live in that fictitious future your mind made up, which hasn't even happened and likely won't happen. Don't live in the worries we make up in that fear and anxiety. Live right here with God. Embrace him and his promise to take care of you right now. You know, that was dot number one. And I told you there were two dots that got connected for me. And the second one actually is, I think, really even more beautiful than the first. The first one was amazing because the first one, truly, I will tell you, since that time, it has absolutely changed my life. Because I don't sit and wake up every day and worry. I go, that's just a story. Today, I'm fine today. I'm not going to worry about what's happening tomorrow. But the other thing was, you know, we talked about, let's live our lives. Let's live our lives today. What is our purpose in our life? My therapist said to me, you know, she says, I really believe our biggest purpose in life is to love others and show God's love to them. She said, look, earlier I quoted from you in the book from John, and I made the comment of, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, Jesus said. He was saying, he was talking to God the Father. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but keep them safe. They don't belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. And just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. That's our purpose. What's our purpose in the world? It's this, every moment we have is a sacred moment. Every encounter we have is a holy encounter, and our true vocation on this earth and purpose is to love one another and demonstrate God's love to each other. How do we know that? Well, if you do believe anything this Bible says, there's this guy named Jesus, shows up in here a lot, especially in the second half. And here's what he said. Somebody came to him and said, teacher, it's in Matthew 22 in case you wondered, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. What if we made that practice of every encounter we had and saw every encounter we have with people as a holy encounter and compassionately loved the people we came across? Even the ones that are being jerks at work, even the people who cut you off on the road, even that person who has 47 items in the 10-item only lane at Kroger's. What if we loved even the person who doesn't treat us nicely, but we saw them as a child of God, we saw them the way Jesus sees them, and says, I'm going to love you despite that. If we could do that, if we could really turn every encounter into a holy encounter and demonstrate God's love at that moment, do you think the world would be a better place? Do you think we would be a better place? So maybe changing the world's a bit too big. That's tough to do. It can't change the whole world, but let's go back to just my world, your world. Just change for that one person sitting in front of you. That one person we just talked about who made the hairs on the back of your neck stand up just a little bit. If we could think of that as a sacred moment and every encounter as a holy encounter and an opportunity to demonstrate God's love, might that transform the moment? When I'm having a problem at work now, and truth be told, this doesn't happen every time. I'm working on this one. And somebody's really giving me a hard time. Every once in a while, the clarity from God comes through and he says, that's one of my children too, Bruce. And just so you know, Bruce, sometimes you're a bigger jerk than he is. Yeah, okay. You got me on that one. But love him. Let's look behind the hurt. You know, I've often heard it said, I'm sure you have as well, hurt people hurt people. Maybe think about, why is that person reacting that way? What's the hurt in their life that's put them in that? And maybe, just maybe, if you could show them a little love, show them my love, since we know, Bruce, your capacity is limited, mine is not. Show them my love in that moment. Maybe that could start to transform their lives. I know for sure when I can think of it that way, it transforms mine. It makes the dialogue a whole lot different in my head and my heart when I can see it that way. You know, we always say forgiveness is really a gift you give yourself. Viewing people that way is a gift you give yourself. Because suddenly, God's love is flowing through you instead of all that anger and that bitterness. So, to sum it up, right here, right now, God's in this moment. With you, for me, for every one of us. This moment is a sacred moment. This encounter we're having right now is a holy encounter. And when we leave here, every encounter we have with people is going to be a holy encounter. And let's use it as a chance to show God's love, to embrace the love of God, and share it with the world. Sound like a plan? Amen. I think now there's a video from the conference that we would like to play. Thank you. A lot of holy encounters happening there. And you know, another way sometimes to have a sacred moment, to have a holy encounter, is to show your appreciation to people who have made sacrifices for you, for us. Today is Veterans Day. That's an important day. It's a day that we take and we pause in this country to remember people who did make sacrifices for our freedom. And as a church, we have 17 people who have served in the armed services who are still with us today. And we want to take a moment and thank them for their service. Logan, if you can roll that tape. Ed Anderson, Gregory Bonds, Douglas Brandow, Corey Canis, Joe Gates, Aaron Graves, Warren Houghton, Cal Jacobs, Lowell Jacobs, Roger Jacobs, Toby Johnson, Ed Rosser, David Six, Roger Waite. We thank you. We thank you, veterans, for what you've given for us. Amen. We move now to a time of communion. This is a special time in the part of the worship. This is a time where we get to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And as we do communion today, I'm going to ask you to pause, reflect. Have you been struggling to live in the moment, to live in the present? Have the worries and the cares of the world pulled you down? Are you not feeling the love of God and you're tied up with the stories in your head? I'm going to give you an opportunity just to say, as we go into communion, use this moment. Use this sacred moment to pause and in your own words and in your own head and your own heart, talk to Jesus about that. Let him know that you're willing to let go of those stories in your head and just accept his love and sacrifice that he did for us. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was lifted up on a cross and died on a cross. And he said, when he met with the disciples the night before that all happened, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, when you break the bread in the future, remember me. And remember, just as this bread is broken and can't get put back together, I allowed my body to be broken just for you. And he also said, as he poured the wine out and passed it around to the disciples, Let this wine, when you pour wine in the future and you look at it, remember. This is in remembrance of my blood poured out for you just as I pour the wine out into this glass. I did that for you because I love you. I have given you my everything. It's a time for you to remember that. It's a special time in the service. And so now together, as you eat this bread, think about Jesus. Think about what he did. Because of COVID, we use these funky little cups. But it's no less the symbol of what we normally use. Go ahead and take your bread. Remember the body broken for you. And then take the juice. Remember Christ's blood, sacrifice poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins and to reconcile us with the Holy Father. Amen. You know, communion is in commemoration of what God did for us. Our offerings are an opportunity for us to show God what we'd like to give back to him. Offerings can come in the form of work we do. They can come in the form of giving of our finances back to him, which all came from him in the first place, our time, our efforts. One of the best offerings we can give and show that we are Christians by our love is to offer that love out to others. Thank you, Father, for these many ways you have blessed us and the offerings you have given us. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him, all heavenly.
Join me in our prayer of dedication. Loving God, receive these gifts of love
as celebration of your presence in our lives. Shine through our gifts and our ministry that others may see light for that journey. Amen.
Live through our gifts and our ministry
that all may experience and celebrate your loving presence. Amen.
Our closing hymn is His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? Long, long for heaven and home. When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow. On the sparrow, I know he watches me. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever song is placed aside, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him, when he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye
touches me. Sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Our scripture verse said, consider now the lilies. Our song says his eye is on the sparrow, and we know in both those cases his eye is on us as well. Go from here today. Share that love with the comfort of knowing God is with you, and every moment you have will be a chance to share that. Join me, if you will, in our closing benediction. Keep awake, for darkness is all around. May our hearts shine with God's love. Keep awake, for the world is in constant need. May we see and respond where Christ calls us to serve. As light for the world, go forth for God. We go now to light the way. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his
Thank you, guys. Oh, thank you.